Welcome to PTW Office Hours, where we invite authors, writers, publishing professionals to have casual conversations around craft. Grab your journal, a cup of tea or coffee, and get ready to take notes. This is PTW Office Hours, brought to you by Permission to Write.
Welcome back to the PTW Office Hours podcast. It's me, Ashley M. Coleman, here for another week of talking about writing craft in this wild world of books. I'm so happy to be chatting with you all. It's been such a cool journey to share this type of space with you. It's almost like audio blogging, which takes me back to the good old days. I hope you've been enjoying the season so far. Don't forget to like, rate, and subscribe if you find the content compelling. I don't know how many episodes we'll have for this first season, maybe 22 like Abbott. But anyway, I digress. Let's get into another week of publishing news. So this weekend, I attended the LA Times Book Prizes Award Ceremony. It was my first time at anything like that. I mean, outside of the Grammys, but in the literary world. It was pretty cool to see all the winners and listen to their speeches and whatnot, and just how many different personality types there were that were accepting their awards for the evening. It also made it very evident that I'll probably never win a book award. just kidding, but there was definitely a lot of deep subject matter, and I always fancy myself a bit more of a entertaining writer, but I'll just say that things got a little deep. But I am preparing right now my rap lyrics for my acceptance speech when the time comes. Gotta keep it hip-hop. But congratulations to all the winners of the LA Times Book Prizes. I'll link to the winners in the show notes so you can take a look. I definitely took notes on a couple books that I want to check out, like Didn't Nobody Give Up What Happened to Carlotta by James Hanham, and then Stories from the Tenants Downstairs by Sadiq Fofana. Those were some of the nominees that night, and definitely books that I had heard about and have seen the covers everywhere, but I felt compelled to maybe check out some of those stories now that I saw that they are prize nominations. So definitely something worth checking out. I also had the opportunity to attend the LA Times Festival of Books on Saturday for the first time as well. And it's funny because I was in LA last year, but I hadn't really known about it. And when I did find out about it, it was like a bit too late for me to actually hustle up to be able to go. But I was watching a lot of other writers on social media that I admire kind of pop up there. And it was just such like full circle moment to actually be invited this year to do a signing with Malik Books. So absolutely grateful to have had the opportunity to show up at their booth. And it was just amazing. After I got past the whole anxiety attack of how many books of mine they had ordered. but I only left with 3 books left. So hopefully they sell those on day 2. So it was just very humbling to be able to talk to so many people. I think even a friend of mine went back a little bit later and said there were only 2 left. So win, right? Being a debut author is just so hard that it's exciting when you actually have a well-attended event, actually sell some books and have really great conversations with both like prospective readers and people who actually know who you are. So it was really great. So y'all are decent. I just want to say that. But my inner book nerd was absolutely thrilled this weekend. I also got a chance to check out a panel with Tracy Rose Payton, DK Nuro, and Lynn Steger Strong. It was really good about kind of like siblings and survivors, but I just think the conversation was very great. So it was a good day and I slept well. Lastly, I wanted to talk about the book bans that are going way too far. I mean, it has already been ridiculous, and I promise that I try not to think about these things too much in the course of my day, just because it would obviously make me go mad just to think about how many people in this country are just doing crazy things. So unless you've been hiding under a rock, you know that there are a group of people in this country that seemingly have nothing better to do than to try to revert society to something like the 1930s or something with their ideologies on race, gender, sexuality, just like women's autonomy over their bodies. It's really ridiculous. And so they've been banning books that they consider covering critical race theory, which really just means American history, or over sexualization, which really means that they're just trying to censor the works of Black and brown people and the LGBTQIA plus community. So in a recent article that I read this week, they're even talking about trying to criminalize the publication of these books. Now, we know it's hard enough to be published when you're from a marginalized group without the shenanigans on top of it. So without state senators in Tennessee trying to criminalize this work, it's already difficult to get these stories to the forefront. And we know that kids need these stories. They're not going to stop being queer or being trans just because they can't read about it, which is ridiculous. And they need that community. They need to hear these stories about how other people have overcome. And so, I mean, book bans have been going on since the beginning of time. Anytime you're trying to control the thought processes of people, you're really going to go to the books because that's where knowledge is. That's where we get just the uncensored truth, I think, in a lot of ways. And so it's sheer ridiculousness. And I definitely feel like I want to look into the ways that we can really use our voices to try to stop just all this crazy stuff going on. And I know that starts with like writing your senators and things like that, but I need to do my own research a bit on how to really support these efforts. So if you already know, feel free to share those things with me either through social media, Twitter or Instagram, or even shoot me an email. Let me know. I'd love to maybe share more about it with our audience. And of course, I'll link to the story that I was reading in the show notes. So with that being said, I definitely want to jump into the content for the actual show. I wanted to chat a bit about poetry. So it's the last week of National Poetry Month by the time this show will be released. So I thought it would be appropriate to carve out some space for the art form. Quite honestly, I probably should have prepped for a guest because your girl is not really the poetry girl. However, I think it'll be fun maybe possibly even to look at it from that lens of a person who isn't as into poetry. It's funny because so often when I talk to writers and frankly, even musicians, so many of us started by writing poetry. So now no one is saying that the poetry we started with was actually good, but it was poetry nonetheless. That kind of started our foray into writing. It seems like some of the first stuff that they teach you in school, right? So writing haikus or acrostic poems, really just a lot of exploration to the different styles of writing poetry. And so it's natural that you kind of start to poke around and realize that this is maybe a way that you want to try to express some things, which is totally fair. So I certainly gave some poetry a go. I have books that would confirm it. But I've always written a lot of different things. You know, I have books even with short stories from when I was younger that I would write. So I journaled mostly about boys. It was kind of in the stars for me to be where I am wanting to be a writer. I think I've always written since I was a very young girl. But it was really a class that I took at Temple University that opened up my world a bit to what was possible for me to express as a writer. It was called Poetry as Performance with Kamiko Williams Witherspoon, an eclectic yet commanding being who called us to task and didn't allow us to cower from the work in any sense of the word. So the class was transformative in many ways. I only took it because I was essentially looking for opportunities to be critiqued on my performance. So I took this and another broadcast class where they literally counted our likes and ums, very humbling. But I was preparing myself for a creative career. And I just thought that it would be a good skill to strengthen. I think I had that understanding very early on that creativity is subjective and that you really kind of need to be able to take constructive criticism. And I also still had like some dreams of kind of doing broadcast journalism. So I just thought, I'm going to be in front of people. I need to kind of like work on that skill. And I really wanted to just develop tough skin, for lack of a better term. So in either case, what I got, though, was the opportunity to expand my writing past only writing when I felt the like extreme of emotions. So whether I was like really angry or really sad, this class was really teaching us how to write about a wide range of subject matter and topics, and really taught me specifically how to use life more as my creative influence versus these really dramatic kind of scales of, you know, being at 10 or being at 1, but really kind of learning how to write about everything that was going to be in between. And so when what I received, though, in addition to that, was really like a community that had such a strong bond by the end of that class, because we talked about so much real life stuff. From abusive parents to abortions, grief, and so much more. We explored all of that through poetry, and it got deep. There were tears in there for sure. As week after week, we kind of stood up there and bored some of the deepest parts of ourselves through our poetry because of different just like prompts and things that Kamika kind of led us through, really just kind of unearthed, you know, a lot of things. And so for me, that included a poem about lusting over a football player in one of my classes. One that ended up in the final show in front of my parents and my boyfriend at the time. So learned how to be fearless, kids. Learned how to be fearless, because you need that to be a creative and to really be as authentic and honest as possible in your work, because I think sometimes we don't really think about what it takes to kind of really take human emotion, human questioning, all these things that are swirling inside of us, and really kind of lay ourselves across the altar of creativity. And so that class definitely changed my relationship with poetry. But looking back on my notebook from then, I'm also glad that I never really tried to bill myself as a poet. We all have our strengths, okay? And, you know, honestly, I feel probably like a little embarrassed by my poetry back then. But it did help me to realize a bit about my apprehension with poetry, which is a lot of it is not good. I mean, when I was writing some of that poetry, I probably thought like, yes, this is worth all the snaps. But now being a well more developed writer, I'm just like cringe at that stuff. But, you know, maybe you could say the same for most writing, right? That there's a lot of it that maybe isn't that good, but it's, you know, it's all subjective. But I just think that poetry especially has a lot to like sift through, you know what I mean? Because it's not necessarily the same intensive lift like a novel per se. So people can write a lot more bad poetry than they tend to write novels just because of the sheer commitment that it takes to write a novel. But this isn't about me bashing poetry, I promise you. I actually wanted to take some time to highlight a couple of poetry writers that I do enjoy. So good poetry can be just as transformative as that class was for me. And I actually go back to poetry a lot when I'm feeling uninspired as a fiction writer, when I'm staring kind of at that plain language in a passage in a passage of text and knowing that there is like a better way to describe it. So poetry will help me go back to something that may have said she yelled at me to she said it with a snarl that almost knocked me to the ground, right? Or whatever the case may be. But poetry helps me think about how to say things that have been said a million times in some of the most beautiful ways. And so when I read Saeed Jones's How We Fight for Our Lives memoir, which I've talked about often, it's one of my favorite kind of pieces of contemporary memoir. I realized that some of the best memoirists, are poets. And I mean, like, the language, the stories, the way they recount is just different. And so the stories within that memoir were really beautiful. And so more recently, I kind of picked up Alive at the End of the World, which is a collection of poetry from Jones. And I often reference it for those kind of jolts of creativity. He's talking a lot about just some of that residual grief of losing his mother. And, you know, just a very talented, awarded poet with really great stuff. And then there's also, like, my good friend Gabrielle Hickman. She wrote a book of poetry called Sunny. That, too, is good poetry that chronicles kind of, like, the ebb and flows of a relationship, right? One that has seen its end, essentially. And, you know, there's other great poets to check out, like Diana Alejandrina, Archuleta Chisholm. There's just so many really cool and great poets that are doing it. They're writing good poetry. And then, of course, there are the masters in the craft, like Sonia Sanchez, Nikki Giovanni, Langston Hughes. I mean, those real greats, right? They write poetry that makes you think, that makes you feel, that makes you resist. And at the end of the day, that's what great poetry is for me. Like, I'm not really caught up in the iambic pentameter or how intense the rhyme scheme is, but what did it question? How did it reflect the time? Did it make me evaluate something new? And I just love the language of poetry and their very innate ability to really just say so much just about the human experience in this really beautiful way. So that's it. I just wanted to chat a little bit about poetry, my experience with poetry, and say to you, happy Poetry Month as it comes to an end. In celebration, I want to leave us with some words from Nikki Giovanni. I had this written in the back of one of my books. I think I thought it would be part of my wedding vows, but we ended up keeping it a little old school. So this is an excerpt from her poem, Resignation, that says, I love you because you made me want to love you more than I love my privacy, my freedom, my commitments and responsibility. I love you because I changed my life to love you because you saw me on one Friday afternoon and decided that I would love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. See y'all next time.
Thank you for listening to PTW Office Hours. We hope you got something out of the conversation. You can follow us on Instagram at Permission to Write, on Twitter at Perm to Write, and stay up to date through our website, permissiontowrite.com. Join our community that works to amplify and cultivate the voices of Black writers and writers of color.